Almost Worth Saying's Question Time Review.
Question Time. The 30th of March, 2023. The panel, Andrew Murison, Conservative. Emily Thornberry, Labour. Helen Morgan, Lib Dem. Danny Sriskandarajah, Oxfam. Fraser Nelson, journalist, the venue, Bristol. That's nutty Bristol, which should be twinned with other progressive oddities such as Brighton, some of the London boroughs, and weird Portland, Oregon. Suffice it to say, there are four seats in Bristol and all of them are Labour-held. There's also a lefty loon Labour mayor called Marvin Rees. Like last week's Andrew Bowie, this week's Andrew Morrison, Conservative, joined the Andrew. Under a Royal Navy scholarship, this Andrew studied medicine at the University of Bristol before serving as a naval medical officer and rising to the rank of Surgeon Commander. After leaving the Navy in 2000, Dr. Andrew was elected to the House of Commons as the Conservative MP for Westbury at the 2001 general election. 2 years later, as a naval reservist, he was called up for a six-month tour to Iraq following the 2003 invasion and served as a battle group medical officer near Basra. The 20th anniversary of which he commemorated the week before last by laying a wreath at the Iraq and Afghanistan Memorial in central London in memory of the 179 British personnel who lost their lives in Iraq. Interestingly, Dr. Morrison was not present for the House of Commons declaration of war vote on the 18th of March 2003, and in an earlier vote on the same day voted in favour of a motion saying the case for war in Iraq had not yet been established. However, both votes were won by the cross-party pro-war lobby. On his website, Dr. Morrison explains that he was among several Conservative MPs at the time who believed that the case for Iraq's possession of weapons of mass destruction was unconvincing and that Iraq did not pose a serious threat to the UK security. Currently, the Minister for Defence, People, Veterans and Service Families, and married with five daughters, we shall proclaim Dr. Morrison a QT review thoroughly good egg and trust he doesn't let us down during the programme. The first question was about housing illegal immigrants. Lady Lardy Thornberry, Labour, didn't know what the government were doing. She announced the asylum system was broken and the Tories broke it. There is no attempt to deal with the issue. The plan is to cause destruction and division. Asylum decisions have to be made quickly and fairly. Do Labour support the use of barracks to house them? Bruce asked of Lardy. She replied, this wasn't the core problem. What we need is safer and legal routes, said Andrew Morrison. Tens of thousands cross the channel illegally. Criminal gangs are at work. Keeping illegal immigrants in hotels is all round bad news. There isn't a magic wand. The solution will be multifaceted and complicated. Putting them in barracks is part of the solution. Haypath of Fishwife is worth a guinea of clergy. Do we really need further proof? Just in case we do, a clergyman in the audience described the joy of asylum seekers in his parish. They are a great bunch of guys. Is there a parable about the fool in a dog collar with a burnt-out, looted church? Danny Sriskandarajah, Oxfam, invented a UN International Convention of Obligations that allows the French to dump illegal immigrants on us. Danny wanted a large-scale resettlement programme. He mentioned the million that have gone to Australia. Fraser decided this was the slave trade with people, slaves, paying £20,000 to gangs, forcing them to come to Britain and live in five-star hotels. He was in favour of giving illegal immigrants your job. And they say the Spectator is right of centre. The problem is that both the right and left wings of the London elite despise Britain and British people and want to cleanse us from our own country. The right purely for profit, cured from cheap labour, and the left from getting them into Britain, getting them claiming benefits, and getting them voting Labour. A curse on both their houses. An exceptionally fat person, even for Question Time, thought the illegal immigrants were coming here to help him. They're coming to help themselves and their extended clans, pal, and at your expense. And there's a housing crisis, he added, unaware of the irony. Helen Morgan, Lib Dem, was hysterical. We shall ignore her. The 47-year-old is the Liberal Democrat MP for North Shropshire, having entered Parliament as recently as 2021. Her by-election victory overturned a Conservative majority of 23,000 after lobbying fraud Owen Paterson resigned from the Commons. Originally from Stone in Staffordshire, Ms. Morgan graduated in history from Trinity College, Cambridge, before embarking on a corporate career in chartered accountancy at KPMG. From there, she moved to Uber Carbon Emitters British Gas and Centrica before her career in big business reached its apotheosis at Grocott Developments, the portable buildings for hire or sale people. As every puffer knows, the market Drayton corporate giant promises portable units provide the perfect, rapid and low-cost solution when a temporary building solution is needed for office accommodation, canteens, stalls, toilets, showers and gatehouses. Another audience member described a war and a famine in France that the illegal immigrants are escaping from. It is a bit rough over there at the moment, not least because they remained in the European Union. But even so, claims of a Gallic war and famine should have been challenged by La Bruce. Instead, she conducted a straw poll. Surprise, surprise, not many supported the government's immigration strategy. Andrew wanted to stop the boats and get the illegals out of hotels. Albanians are going to stop coming here, he announced. Send them straight back to France, said nobody except an army of long-suffering taxpayers and citizens. The second question was the weekly question about net zero. Andrew entered the post-enlightenment dream world that is green nonsense. 40% of our electricity last year was generated by renewables. Apparently, chopping down the countryside and burning it at Drax is renewable, added to which, at the budget, it was announced that uranium supplies are infinite. Global warming? Climate change? No, it's climate breakdown, according to Danny. There's an environmental crisis in Somalia, through no fault of the Somalis. Rubbish. There's a never-ending civil war in Somalia. Since the day I was born, the population's increased fivefold. No wonder the environment is hammered. Dananjanyan Sivaguru Siskandaraja is the chief executive of Poor People's Charity Oxfam. Danny was born in Sri Lanka but educated in Australia before enlisting as a Rhodes Scholar at Magdalen College, Oxford. After completing his studies at Magdalen, Mr. Siskandaraja became a civil society professional and engaged in a Cook's tour of globalist vehicles such as the Institute for Public Policy Research, the Royal Commonwealth Society, Civicus et al., many of which have connections with Puffin's favourite George Soros. As a trustee of Comic Relief, you might think Danny could stoop no lower. But in 2019, Siskandaraja was appointed chief executive of the scandal-ridden Oxfam, whose activities overseas have included using underage disaster survivors as prostitutes. During a previous appearance, QT Review dug out Oxfam's 2019 to 2020 annual report and were concerned to read their then list of campaigns were, in order of priority, climate change, women's rights and gender justice, influencing institutional equality, influencing the UK government to stop UK-made bombs falling on the Yemen, and supporting people in poverty around the UK, e.g. the feminist scorecard. At the 2021-22 annual report, campaigns appear to have been replaced by strategies regarding climate emergency, internationalism, good thing according to Oxfam, shifting power, influence and decision-making to the global south, challenging social attitudes and government policy and rights while being safe, feminist, anti-racist and financially resilient. They boast of a leading role in the People's Vaccine Alliance. And call for equitable global access to vaccines. Puffins will be pleased to hear that buried on page 156 of the report, we learn that Danny earns £120,000 a year, with an additional £12,000 paid into his pension. He also receives 6 weeks paid holiday a year and an extra week's holiday every 3 months to be taken as an accrued sabbatical. Other six-figure packages are paid to the Chief Finance Officer, Chief Impact Officer, Chief Operating Officer, Chief Support Officer and Chief Transformation Officer. Elsewhere in the accounts, we learn that one overseas employee was paid between £340,000 and £349,000. Nobody mentioned our long and cold winter, and the exceptionally cold winters in China and some parts of North America. The age of reason has ended. After a good run, the Enlightenment has lost to superstition and fear. A sensible teacher or a clever book can't keep up with a wall of nonsense bombardment from social and fake media. Imagine Newton being told that 400 years hence, the villagers will be terrified of carbon dioxide. Oh, and while we're at it, Isaac, they'll think women have penises and men have babies. Miss Morgan was weepy rather than hysterical this time. For her MP's millionaire's mansion in London, she decided the people of Cumbria don't want a new coal mine. Yes, we do, silly tart. Fraser said carbon emissions have dropped here anyway, the lowest since 1857. How on earth can anybody know that? Fraser Nelson is a journalist and the editor of the conservative-leaning Spectator magazine. Previously, he wrote for The Scotsman, The Times, The Herald, and Elgin's P&J, which QT Review HQ presumes to mean Press and Journal. As an RAF serviceman's son, Fraser was born in Cornwall but spent his childhood in Nairn, while his father served at nearby RAF Kinloss. After his father was moved to Cyprus, Fraser was privately educated at Dollar Academy, a £34,000 per annum boarding school which lies at the foot of the Ochil Hills in Clackmannanshire. Subsequently, he attended the University of Glasgow and the City University, London. Mr. Nelson is married with two sons and a daughter and lives in Twickenham. His wife, Linda, is Swedish. He describes himself as a Europhile. Mr. Nelson is in favour of same-sex marriage and immigration and sprang to the defence of Muslims after the Charlie Hebdo murders. 2013, Mr. Nelson won the British Society of Magazine Editors Editor of the Year Award. Lardy thinks there is a race to become the first green economy and the winner could be you. Yes, you. You could be a citizen of the first country in the old world where they sit in the dark and cold eating raw food from the floor. Again, missing the irony, we could be energy secure by never using our own coal, gas, oil or frack. She invented good, green jobs in derelict factories closed down by carbon taxes and ridiculously high energy prices. The next question was about young people never being able to afford a home. There are three reasons for the housing crisis. Immigration, immigration and immigration. Nothing more needs to be said. If the loons in Bristol are in favour of mass and controlled illegal immigration, then it serves them right when their children can't find a property. Although the subject of the final question was supposed to be antisocial behaviour, a lady in a green top ranted upon a number of subjects. Green politics, Rwanda. Crime is caused by the trauma of the last 2 years. Cutting the public sector has traumatised a generation of thugs. What cuts? The government taxes and taxes and taxes and spends and spends and spends. HS2 causes crime. Somehow. She was unhinged. Just what a post-enlightenment, post-rational world wants. In the same way that a lie has lapped the world before the truth has tied his shoelaces, she'll be all over social and fake media before I finish this podcast.